Thanks to our fathers for speaking to us and sharing with us your lives. To Brother Dick Iverson, to Brother Dick Strutz, and to my dad, Dick Benjamin, thank you for being our fathers, for all you put into our lives, and not just these last few days. Thanks for speaking to us and encouraging us. It was perfect, just what we wanted and needed. What a blessing. They said that Richard and I should speak this last night. I forget what they said when they told us that. This was my father and Dick Strutz. They said, well, you two should speak at the end. And so here we go. Here we are. We got the idea for this in June of 1999. Well, that was our last conference, actually. It was the 40th anniversary of Abbott Loop Local Church. How many were here for that? That was a great time. And in that conference in 1999, my father, Dick Benjamin, resigned from being the apostle of our whole family or fellowship of churches. I still think that was the right thing to do. I still think it was a very courageous thing to do. It was a step of faith. And he said to us, in kind of a charge he gave to us, go into all the world and preach the gospel and find new networks and form new networks and join denominations and find fellowship and relationships wherever you find it. And that's what we've been trying to do these last 9 years. So there have been attempts at networks and relationships and organizations, and they've all been good, more or less. And some of us have joined other good organizations in the body of Christ. That's been great, too. But then this terribly sad thing happened a couple years ago where our dear brother Steve Valentine passed away. And many of us were there for his funeral in November of 05? Is that right? 06. And it was a very sad time, of course, to say goodbye to Steve, but we were all together in a large number for the first time since 1999. And even though it was sad, we liked being together again. And I feel it too. One of the sad things about what we have gone through is that we don't all get together anymore. And so that was the idea, and I think it was you, Richard, that started a piece of paper going around, let's get together, let's have a reunion, let's do something. So thank you for getting the ball rolling. And that led to this event here and now. I counted, there's over 100 of us came from other places, other states, other countries. Over 32 churches I counted. 19 or 20 states of the Union came all the way to Alaska. I'm still amazed by that you came. Because it's so expensive to come to Alaska now, and so expensive to be in Alaska now. For those that stayed in hotels and rented cars, thank you. We appreciate tourists in Alaska. It's part of our economy. Thanks for bringing your money. But really, I think I'm surprised how many people begin to RSVP and say they were coming and how many of you did come. And just respect the sacrifice you made to be here, all the inconvenience, all the expense. It's awesome, really. 7 other countries of the world. Either you live there, or you're from there, or you're minister there. Hungary, Mexico, the Philippines, Peru, Panama, other places I'm not thinking of now, Singapore. So you came from all over the world even to be here for this event. It is amazing. I hope you think it was worth it. People are asking about doing it again. Well, we didn't mean to imply that it was any kind of a reorganization. It's not. Or even a first annual or a first ever. It may be the only ever. My father was talking about doing it again in 9 years the other day, because we were here 9 years ago, I guess. So, you know, he thinks in patterns. So now we have a pattern. Don't know. I graduated from high school in 1974, right here in Anchorage, a mile and a half away from this spot. I didn't get very far, I always say. And I began to go to my class reunions. The 10-year one, it was really cool, actually. I went to my class reunion, and I think 2 people walked up and said, Rick, I got saved. It was so cool. It was cool. It blessed me that they remembered that I was the Christian guy from high school, you know, and they knew I'd appreciate it, and that was great. And it was a great chance to witness. So what are you doing now? You know, well, still married to my first wife, still serving Jesus, still being a pastor of that church down the road, you know. And so I ended up on the committee with my reunion. So I went to my 20th and my 25th and my 30th, and there'll be one again next year, I guess. And these reunions are great, But it all happened because of one classmate. Her name is Sharon, and she always was kind of ornery and kind of pushy. And I knew her since first grade, all the way through. But Sharon is the one that made these reunions keep happening. She nags all of us and gets the committee together and works on the mailing list and gets us all there. And if it wasn't for Sharon, it wouldn't be happening. Is your family like that? As your family gets older, you know, and maybe the older generations pass on, there has to be somebody who kind of makes it happen. Isn't that right? There has to be a convener, kind of that person in the middle of the network to make it come together. Well, this time it was me and Richard. And maybe it is us. Maybe we'll do it again sometime. I don't even know what I'm going to be doing in a few years from now, so I don't know if I'll be in a place to be the Sharon of our family for reunions like this. Again, maybe it's you, by the way, and I mean that sincerely. Maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, I could do that. I could be the catalyst person. I could be the one to help bring it all together again. We'll see, but somebody has to do it. And so, no, this isn't the first annual or first ever, and we'll probably miss each other again in a while and want to do it again somewhere, sometime. I did want to tell you about an upcoming chance to be together. It's the Heritage Fellowship, led by Apostle Jim Feeney and other good leaders. They're having a conference in Medford, Oregon again this year, and you're all invited. Friday to Sunday, September 19th to 21st. Speakers, Patrick Lowe, Jim Feeney, apostles, and then Prophet Tom Ware and Prophet Dave Barton are going to speak for that Heritage Fellowship Conference in September. To get on a mailing list, either see Jim Feeney, there he is back there. Jim and Mickey are living in Alaska again. It's just so delightful. And great to have you here for this. So go see him if you want to get on the list, or email Jim at, are you ready? Jim@jimfeeney.org. You're an org. Cool. Jim@jimfeeney.org. And so there's an opportunity to get together again, and there'll be more of those too. We'll try to keep you informed. Now, Friday morning over at ACC, we had this time of sharing, you know, lessons you've learned, things you're thankful for, the most important experience you've had in your life and ministry. That was really great. I love that. It was a lot of meaningful sharing, and it gave me ideas about tonight. I heard a lot about God's grace, and I've said it before, I think I'm more of a Calvinist than I ever was, but not specific issues of theology like predestination and the security of the believer, but more and more, and I'm only 52 now. Where will I end up if I live to be 90? Wow. But more and more, so impressed with God's grace and God's sovereignty and how all the good stuff is Him. Only the mistakes are mine. And He takes the mess and makes a message, you know, and those that endure, mature, you know, if you hang in there, you're still alive later. You look back and say, whew, God, you got me here. And I think we're less impressed with ourselves and more impressed with God. Maybe when we're younger, we think we're all that, you know, we think we can do all that. And later on, we realize, man, we are powerless, helpless, totally dependent on God and His grace. Through all the changes, thank you, Marlo, through all the brokenness, that's where God really shines. He can be strong in our weakness. Lord, teach us that one more. How God's been sovereign through all of our heritage. So we look back at all those things on Thursday night, and I don't think we lived in the past. A lot of my life and ministry has been trying to get us from the past towards our future. Sometimes I get worried we talk about the past, but there's a right way to remember the past and celebrate the past and say, God, You were sovereign. You brought us together. You brought us through all those things. You kept us generally balanced all the way through. And I'm more and more convinced that God is sovereign about our relationships. Just like in your family, when you were born, your parents, your ethnicity, your gender, your generation, all that was a matter of God's sovereignty. And I think in a spiritual way, the spiritual family where you were born, your spiritual parents, you know, your spiritual DNA, we talk about what's in your spiritual genes, that's all from God. God put us all together. Amen. We didn't choose each other. We didn't find each other. We didn't decide to all be friends. God brought our lives together. It's an awesome gift. A friend of mine once said, now when I meet a new person, I think to myself, why? Why, Lord? Why this person? Why am I meeting this person? What do You have for me, God, in this new relationship? That's how it is. Because of all this, we have precious friends in this room. Lifelong friends, 30, 40-year friends. What a treasure. I'm afraid the spirit of Carol comes upon me once in a while. I am much more of a crier, and I think probably what it honestly is letting myself be what I was all along, you know. And Barb Cotton taught me you can speak while you cry, but it's really inconvenient. And I do feel emotional, don't you? I felt emotional all day. It's almost over. So God is sovereign, and he brought us all together. And, you know, when we were going to print this little flyer here, this brochure that we sent you out, they wanted a scripture for the back. It was the back of where you RSVP'd, those of you that did. Thank you very much. And it was going to be a tear-off, and they said, what scripture should we have for kind of like a theme? And we couldn't think of one. And so we put, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I think this event has been about love. Love says, I haven't seen that person in a long time. I bet they've changed. That's love. Love says, I haven't been to that church in a long time. I can't wait to see how they've changed. Love doesn't say, oh, they're probably the same as they were last time I saw them, you know, stuck. Love says, you know, you have changed so much. That's love talking. There's almost no more encouraging thing you can say to someone. Wow, since I saw you last, you're more like Jesus. How much I've seen you change. That's love. I was going to read Colossians 3:14. You know all these as well as me, and I think Richard might read from Colossians also 3. Over all these virtues, when God speaks like that, those are superlatives. Those are big words. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I want to say I'm thankful to God that all of us have lived long enough to be able to say that love is the most important thing that binds us all together. And I'm so happy to be able to say that because I think there was a time we actually would not have said that. Because there were times we thought other things bound us together, like vision, which is so important, and we still have a common vision. Or theology and doctrine. And I still love doctrine and theology. I'm a Bible teacher, and I still believe it's so important. But in this room today, we believe a whole bunch of different stuff, and we don't care as much as we used to. And there's no looking across the room saying, oh, there's him. I think he believes that now, doesn't he, you know? And we feel that awkwardness, and it's just all gone. I'm so glad I could say that. We don't even really know or care in a way. And it's not that our philosophy of ministry keeps us together, which is critical and important, and we all have one, but they're different now. It's not our organization. It's not the organization we're members of, because some of us are members of other organizations and even leaders of other organizations. And it doesn't matter tonight, because love is what really has bound us all together. And love that was there has been strong enough to prevail through it all, through all of our family dysfunctions and divisions and problems along the way. Here we are, and we still love each other. To God be the glory. I think that's a victory for God. And I have this theory that if there ever was love there, deep down, give it time, it will prevail. Love never fails. Love is the greatest. Love binds them all together in perfect unity, and I think we're experiencing that. My father spoke at Anchorage City Church. Dick Strutt spoke here at Abbott Loop Church. We've had an experience of love in Anchorage, between us and Anchorage City Church, that I think glorifies God. I think it's a testimony. We do love each other, and we are family. You know, we came that close to merging. We did, and we think about it sometimes, but we thought, well, we're two good churches in Anchorage, and we're a special family relationship, and we love each other. Let's do it that way. And so during this weekend, we could be an example of what we're trying to show. Richard and I love each other. I love you. And he's my brother. I think I've known you since I was 13 years old. Wow, almost 40 years. And I always thought you were so great, and you always inspired me, and I always believed in your gifts and your ministry, and I still do. We work on our relationship, and I think we're closer than ever. And honestly, Richard and I wanted our friendship to be an example to all of you during this reunion. Amen. He's my brother. He's an apostle. By the way, he's helping me mentor Josh Tanner to become the senior pastor of this church. That's how much I trust him and how much I value his gifts in my life. Just so you know. So, praise God, we have lived long enough to say that love won out. Amen. That is good. And so, two things about that. You know these also. Ephesians 4, verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And it doesn't say to manufacture it, to create it. It's already been made by Jesus on the cross. Unity exists. Unity is real. It's paid for. It's ours. But we must make every effort to keep it, to maintain it. And so I appreciated the words yesterday about the person who's not here, the person who's on your heart, the person with whom you once had a flourishing relationship, and now it's not flourishing. So renew it. Make every effort. Work on it. Restore it. Reach out. Rebuild that relationship. And yes, I know all this love and all this relationship is for a reason. It's for a purpose. So for all of you more strategic, purpose-oriented people, let me, one of the relational-oriented people, say, for the record, that it's not just so we love each other and feel love for each other and have warm feelings for one another. We all know that. All this love and relationship is for a purpose. The sovereign God put us in a love relationship with one another for reasons. He wants us to do something together. And if we love each other, we can do something together. Love makes the body of Christ work. Love makes it possible for all the gifts to work together like Jesus, actually, in this world. So if we have love and relationship, we can put it all together, and the world will see Jesus through us. So yes, of course, it's for a reason and a purpose. And that's what he prayed for in John 17. It wasn't just love for love's sake. It wasn't just unity for unity's sake. You know, I pray for also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And that's the purpose. That's the reason for the love. That's the reason for our relationships, because the Lord wants to show the world something. He wants to show the world Jesus through us. So Lord, help us make every effort to keep our relationships clear and flourishing and functional so the world can see the wonderful one, the beautiful one. They don't need to see us. They see us already. They need to see him through us collectively, the people of God. And they'll say they remind us of him and we see him through them. That's the purpose. That's the reason for all this love and all this relationship. Yeah, Dolores and I are stepping into the unknown, and we don't like it very much. We're not nervous, we're not worried, we're not anxious. We're curious, very curious, to see what the second half of our lives will be. We are kind of like in Hebrews 11, where it speaks about Abraham who set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, it says, and he was obeying God. That's Hebrews 11, 8. They say he had kind of an idea. You know this? They say that he knew which direction to take the first step. Because do you know what he was doing? He was following the trajectory of his father. Did you know this? This will preach, by the way. Because his father, what was his name? Haran or something like that? He had started in that direction, heading out from Ur towards the north, up the Euphrates Valley, up towards the promised land. So when Abraham started to go, this is what he did. Okay, father, I'll keep going the way my father was going. How's that? So he kind of had a general idea where to go, and he just kept going farther, and God kept leading him and so on. Well, Dolores and I feel a little bit like that. And we haven't been like this in all these years. We've worked at Abbott Loop 30 years. We knew God's will. We did it. We stayed. And I have to figure out how to pray about God's will again and making decisions. It's like an old muscle I haven't flexed in a long time, and I'm getting used to it again. So please pray for us. We want to serve God. We want to serve the people of God. Wherever he puts us, whatever he wants us to do. We don't believe in being pew sitters. It's awful. So we want to be involved in what the Lord wants us to do. But I want to say to you is, I think it's not just us. I wonder how many of you are about to change your whole life and maybe your whole career and have a whole second career. You know, we're all successors to somebody. We all got here because there's this long, unbroken chain that goes all the way back to the first link in the chain, and that was Jesus himself. There's only one author. There's only one beginner, and that's Jesus. And that verse in Timothy says, Timothy, the things you've heard from me, entrust to faithful men who can teach others also. And there's five generations in that one sentence, right? From Jesus to Paul to Timothy to faithful men to the others. And that's the process from parent to child, link to link, all along the chain until it got to us. As James Zirkin used to say, aren't you glad someone shared the gospel with you? Aren't you glad the gospel of Jesus Christ reached even unto you? So what Dolores and I are doing is no new thing, and it's no big deal. It's what our fathers taught us and what our fathers did. Transferring to us what was transferred to them, and we in turn to those who follow us. And so I'm going to say to all of you, take the step of faith, take the risk. Didn't Dick Strutt say, don't fear failure, be a risk taker? So it's not just for us, I think it's for a lot of us as we reach the middle of our lives. Listen, as we baby boomers get older, there's going to be a tremendous transfer of leadership all across the body of Christ in the United States. It has to happen if there's going to be a future of the body of Christ in the United States. It must be done. Lord, help us do it. Help us be faithful. And one day we'll be the fathers standing up and saying what Dick Strutt said, it's more rewarding to see the success of your successors than your own success. Let it be by God's grace. So I'm encouraging you, even by our example, yeah, pray for us, but also it's not just us, it's all of us. We're all going to make this step to the next links in the chain, to the next generations, to our spiritual sons and daughters. Because the last link in the chain, you know who it is? It's Jesus again. Because he's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Didn't he say, I am the Amen? Isn't that one of his names? So he comes back and finishes the chain. It's not done until he comes. That's a beautiful thought too. Okay, I think I'm done with my part. And so I want to bring up my brother, my friend, my colleague. I love you a lot. Apostle, Pastor Richard Irwin. Let's welcome him.
Rick said, why did you sing that? I don't know. Probably because this morning I was teasing the congregation that we needed to start a country worship team. Now that's a new thought. Hallelujah. I am so honored. Of course, I am so blessed to be here in the privilege among such great people. It's been incredible, hasn't it? It really has. It's just been incredible. I was sitting here thinking about all the people who've had influence in my life, and it just goes on and on and on. And of course, we think about Dick Benjamin and Dick Strutz, Dick Iverson. I think about Harold House. Harold and Mickey were my first youth leaders. Picture that. I have pictures of it. For real. I think about all the people who encouraged me when I didn't have any courage myself. And all the people who believed in what I couldn't see for myself. I am so profoundly grateful for all of those people. And that's like many of you in this place. People who have affected your life in such a powerful way. Look over here at Jerry and LaVon Norman, who sent us young guys out in the middle of the night to go rescue heroin addicts. We didn't have a clue what we were doing, but they just figured we could do it. Have the experience of having somebody pull a pistol and stick it in your belly button and, you know, what a ride. What a privilege, the journey. Well, we ask our speakers, and I'm the last of the Richards, I just realized tonight. We ask the speakers to share what they have learned, the most valuable things they've learned. And I'd like to say that I've been thinking about this for months, but I haven't. It actually just came to me about 2 hours ago. The most valuable things you've learned. Well, I think I would have to say that I figured out that I really don't know anything. And that I really am more desperate than ever to learn. And I'm more hungry than ever to hear His voice. I'm more passionate about watching the glance of His eyes than I've ever been. I'm not trying to find my significance anymore, the young man, or my value. I just simply want to go wherever it is He's going and try and stay in cadence with what He's doing and He's saying. But there's four things that I was thinking about here tonight. The first thing is this, that God's hand rests upon your DNA, you, to be a forerunner. And the fact is, I said this at Brian Green's ordination as an apostle, you are worth more now than you ever have been. Yeah. All those things that we've been through, those bumps, those journeys, those scars, God has been storing up treasures on the inside of us. And I am so grateful for all of those things now. I'll talk about that more in a moment here. The scripture in Psalm 105 and verse 16, I want to read. He called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies for food, and He sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles, and his neck was put in irons, till what He foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all he possessed, to instruct the princes as he pleased and teach his elders wisdom. And then it says that Israel entered Egypt and Jacob lived as an alien in the land of Ham, and the Lord made his people very fruitful. And he made them too numerous for their foes, whose hearts he turned to hate his people, to conspire against his servants. And then once again it says he sent Moses and Aaron, whom he had chosen. And I was thinking about my heritage and all that we have. In Isaiah chapter 46, I love this scripture. In verse 11, it says that God sent a man from a far off place to fulfill his purpose. I love how God has been doing that in your lives, how He's been doing that in the DNA of this house. We are so grateful for that. Isaiah 49 and verse 1, when it talks about Isaiah, that he was called even from birth, And in the shadow of his hand, he hid me, it says. And he made me into a polished arrow. And I think about that. In the wisdom of God, God waiting for the right time and the right season, he reaches back and he pulls that arrow out of that quiver. And he pulls back the bow. And this polished arrow, this arrow that he's been fashioning all this time, he releases it to this target that from the beginning of what we know as time, God destined. That's you. That he picked the date. He picked the date. You weren't by accident. He picked the date. He picked your date for you to arrive. He picked the date, this date, for you to fulfill the purpose of God in your generation. It's God's purpose of what he has set in his heart and what he has in mind to do. So when I look at you, I look at destiny. I look at purpose. I don't look at people who are getting at the age of retirement thinking about how we're going to make it all work. You know why? Because in your genes, there is a forerunning spirit. In your DNA, there is apostolic bones. There are things inside of you that you can't get away from and that we can't stop dreaming about, and things that we have to possess, mountains that we have to climb, and flags that we need to set. We are people of purpose. That's who you are. That is what is inside of you. That's God's heart. Our fathers passed that on to us. Well, thank you. Thank you, thank you. And there's nothing that would please God more than for you and I to fulfill the purpose, his purpose, in our season and in our time, and that we hit the bullseye that he's been fashioning us for this whole time. I love the scripture in John chapter 1 and verse 6 where it says, there was a man who was sent from God whose name was John. God sent Joseph. He went on a journey, but he was sent by God. God sent Moses. God sent all kinds of people that today we stand on their shoulders because they chose to say yes to the purpose of his will for this destiny and in this season and time. And I believe that we are still at that point in time where God is asking us, are you willing to say yes? And we say, yeah, but God, I'm older than I ever have been, and I don't like the idea of starting over again. But for some of you here, you are a pioneer till you die. And you are a forerunner because we need you. And the fact is that all of us are forerunners because of what is ahead here. Point number two is this, that forerunners stand in the gap as intercessors. I was thinking about this the other day, and you know the scripture out of Ezekiel 22. The forerunners are people who are able to see. They're the ones who go from the what was to the what will be. I believe that's part of that apostolic DNA that rests inside of us, are people who are willing to stand in the middle of that gap, not just occupying space, not just trying to fulfill a duty, but people who stand there holding and seeing what is ahead of us, holding on to what's behind, treasuring what's behind, but looking forward to what God has for us in the future. A people of purpose. DNA, it's in you. That's who you are. It isn't time to quit. It isn't time to quit. Some of you have got dreams in your heart that you've been holding on to for a long time. I want to say to you that God has been fashioning your arrow. And all that stuff you've gone through, and you're looking at it and you're all beat up, you're chipped, you're marked, you're whatever. Folks, those make the best kind. Am I right? It took you all this time to gain all that understanding and energy. You're worth more now than you've ever been. I'm grateful that we didn't quit. Number three, I believe that we need to be a people who set our hearts to be able to be the people that God would disclose mysteries to. Not content with just things as they are or what we have known, but that we could be people like the Apostle Paul who God would say, this one, I trust. It's my conviction that God's very fussy about who he discloses himself to and who he would share his secrets with. and the things that he is unveiling for this generation in this time, he's very picky about who he discloses that to. And my prayer is, God, I want to be that kind of person. God, I want to finish my race, not just getting to the end of it. More than that, God, I want to fulfill your purpose. And God, I want to be able to hear what you have to say. I want to be like Moses. I want to be able to talk to you face to face. I want to be able to experience the heavens. I want to be able to experience you speaking things that no man has ever heard. Amen. I want to be that kind of person. I want to say to you that that's also part of your DNA. The courage to be able to go where the other people wouldn't go. I am so grateful for our heritage in that. I am so grateful for the things that God has deposited, and now he's looking for the faithfulness to go still where he's called us to go, regardless of our age. It sounds funny even talking like this. I can't believe I'm this old.
You look good.
But, yeah. Thank you very much. Y'all would have to be here to catch the power of that statement. So you know what happens when God begins to disclose mysteries? Then he gives you the responsibility to carry out those purposes and to move toward those things that you see. We set our hearts to be those kind of people. So he expects you to lift your eyes. He expects me to lift my eyes to those things and to run and to embrace those things in this season. In this coming season. Moving forward to where he's called me. And learning how to treasure the tragedies in our life. Here's a few things that I do know. I do know that church splits make you a good reconciler. I do know that if your father dies at a young age, it'll make you a good father if you let it. I do know that coming alongside of people who have stumbled in ministry will cause you to become a person of deep passion and looking for even more people and learn how to be a reconciler. I do know those things. I do know that God has set those things in many of you. I know that in me. I know that for Rick and I, particularly in this city, that one of our strengths is that we've been through some stuff and we've seen the other side, and there is something branded deep on the inside of us. We never want to go there again. And if we can help it, we don't want anybody else to ever go there again. And if somebody is already there, then we are going to get good at helping them get out of that spot where they are in. That's great DNA. I'm so grateful for my fathers who said, don't quit. One day we were up at Dick and Carol's house a few years ago, and we were having some fellowship, and it was a number of us who had been around Anchorage here for a long time. We were having this fellowship and listening to Dick and Dick blame each other on the successes and failures and all of that kind of stuff of ministry. It was hysterical. And there was something about that night. When I came in, I was just kind of a heavy heart. I was just kind of struggling inside with some things related to ministry and, you know, just feeling weighty and that kind of thing. And I think Dick had a word of knowledge. I don't know that he even knew it. But at the time, he just, as I was going out the door, and I can still remember standing, he was at the top of the stairs, and as I was going out the door, he said, you know what, Richard, he says, you just got to keep going. You just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other one. And I needed that word. It was a prophetic word for me. It was a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge for me right there. I appreciate that about our DNA, that you don't quit. Forerunners don't quit. You'll never get there if you quit. Profound, isn't it? You can't quit. There's too many other people that are depending on you being faithful. Because it isn't about even you and I so much as it is about my children and your children and our grandchildren. I was looking at Cindy Johnson's grandkids here tonight as she was flipping through the pages, showing me those so eagerly. What a blessing. Our obedience is for them. For them to lay hold of what it is that God's called them to be. And if they're ever going to be forerunners, we have got to continue and finish our race being forerunners. Being people with apostolic heart and apostolic minds in everything that we do. The Apostle Paul said, Philippians chapter 3, and I still remember Bob Mumford preaching about this. He said, I run to attain. And he talked about being apprehended for that which I have been apprehended. To apprehend that for which I have been apprehended. How many remember that? It changed our lives, didn't it? We're still in the apprehending process. We can't quit. Hallelujah. And I'm like Rick. I believe God's got some incredible things ahead. And I'm excited for Rick and Dolores. I really am. I'm excited for what God is doing. This is a new season. It is going to be cool what comes out the other side of this. Hallelujah. And I'm glad they're not the kind of people who quit. Who've been so faithful and steady. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for your labor. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for your faithfulness in this house. The days in this house are going to be better than they've ever been. I believe that. I believe that. We are people of destiny. We're people of purpose. We're people are forerunners. That's our heritage. That's who God has called us to be. So thank you to all of our apostolic fathers and, dare I say, mothers who encourage us along the way. And let me end with this last thought. This summer, my father-in-law, Dick, are you here tonight? I don't think so. I'll just tell you this story. We decided we were going to go across the inlet. And I've been going across the inlet in a boat with him now for 40 years, or pretty close. And you always drive over top the C Street Bridge, and you look out across the inlet, taking a scan of what that water looks like and what the horizon looks like over there. And he hadn't been feeling very good. There are a number of things that now we understand were probably the problem. But he was feeling pretty punky. And when we looked at we've had this discussion and this interaction. I couldn't even begin to count the times over on that bridge about the same spot, and we both look left. Say, well, are we going to be able to do it? Are we going to be able to get all the way across to the Little Sioux? Are we going to have to turn around and come back? Or, you know, that we have that conversation. And I looked at him and I said, what do you think? And he said, I don't think so. And I thought to myself, a few years ago, he wouldn't even have hesitated. I knew things are changing. Things are changing. And then as we went on and we drove down a little further, because we did put the boat in the water and we did run around in the inlet a little bit because it was a new boat to him. And as we were riding around, and he says, well, we could probably try it. And he said, if something happens over there, and he made this statement, you know the way home. I'll never forget that. The reason I know the way home is because he taught me how to come home. For those of you not from Alaska, trying to get over to the Little Sioux and up the mouth of the Little Sioux and back out again without hitting the sandbars and everything else takes real skill to be able to do it. There are few people that even do it anymore. But I knew the way home because he taught me how to come home. And you all know the way home because our fathers taught all of us how to come home. And you're a forerunner. It's in your bones. Be faithful with what all he has given you to be and do. Dream big. He has given you influence, a sphere of influence, more than you had 20 years ago or in your younger years. He's been depositing in you all these years for this time and this season. And it is in this time and this season. And I wish I could have been here to hear the message of Brother Iverson this morning. But it is in this time and in this season that I believe that God wants us to lift our eyes to how big the field is.